This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I'm Hayes Permar, filling in for Adam Gold on Little Friday. It is my Friday because I ain't working tomorrow. How random is this? I see Joe Giglio, who does an afternoon show here at 99.9 The Fan, the studios that we are sitting in as we come to you across the state here on the Adam Gold Show. Mm-hmm. I was at the vet two days ago.
Okay.
I walk in the vet, and who does my dog run into but Joe Giglio's dog?
Oh, really?
There with Joe Giglio's wife. Joe Giglio, I think, was working at the time, but
okay.
Ran into a dog friends. All right. We asked for people to vote. The options were the British Open, Kane's free agency.
It's the Open.
We're not doing that. People who complain about how you say the Open are more annoying than people who say the Open wrong, even if I'm one of them. Saying the Open wrong, not complaining. The Open, Kane's free agency, mm-hmm. Thor Love and Thunder, and the NBA possibly lowering the draft age.
Yep.
And the fans voted for Kane's free agency. But I don't have anything else to say about that. And we already talked to Adam Gold. Did the Canes sign anybody new?
Not that I've seen.
We got Sawchenko this morning. He's a, what was his name? Frank Sawchenko? Steve?
Zach
Sawchenko. Yeah. Knew it started with a Z. Zach Sawchenko is the only player we've added. We'll keep you updated on that. So instead, I'm overruling the fans. We are not.
Oh,
that's
hold
right.
On.
Yeah, that's right.
You had me put a poll out. Just to say, no, kick rocks, yeah. Listeners.
Yeah.
Kick
I like
rocks.
It's important to know what they're thinking, but many times you gotta disagree with them. So that's right. I'm bucking the fans, much like I bucked you at the opening and didn't even show up for the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you weren't even here.
I was kicking it with Jesse in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
I need this show doesn't start. I get no weather. I need ads at the beginning of my hour. This show always starts right at the top of the hour. Way too precise for me. I'm a like stroll into it kind of guy. Okay?
I know you've worked on shows where it was like 3 minutes of ads at the top of the hour.
Yeah, I like that. Or a weather report. Tell me what's happening on the stock market.
You want a Dow Jones update?
Not now. Not right now. But at the top of the hour, yes. I prefer, you know, a good 45 seconds to 60 seconds. Just ease on in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm just burning bridges here at the Adam Gold Show. I torched any friendship I had with Dennis Cox at the beginning, where I hung him out to dry, and after he had prepared a special intro just for me.
I did.
Hopefully it'll come back in the wall of sound. Then, next up, I'm going to burn the listeners, because we gave them the option to talk about Kane's free agency, and I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to talk about baseball, because I realized I didn't get to this in the opening, and I did have a quick take. One, because it has... One, because it has a tie to the local area, and that is Charlie Montoyo, former Bulls manager, mm-hmm. very successful Bulls manager, was fired yesterday by the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm. Now, I don't know why this was, and a couple of the articles I read also seem surprised by it. He's the third manager fired this year, and the other two were pretty darn good, too. So maybe he's joining a good class then. One was Joe Maddon, the other was Joe Girardi.
Yeah.
And I think both of them have won World Series titles.
Maddon won one. It was like 20 years ago with the Angels, I believe.
Did Maddon win with the Cubs? Who won with the Cubs?
May have been Maddon, too.
And then Girardi, I think, won one with the Yankees, but maybe not.
Mm.
But, so that's good company to be fired among them. But Charlie Montoyo out. But that wasn't the most interesting thing I saw regarding Toronto baseball this week. The most interesting thing I saw regarding Toronto baseball this week was that the Royals are traveling to play there. And 10 dudes mm-hmm. have been put on the inactive list. Why is this? Because they are unvaccinated. Now, they're not. That part is not being said, but it's basically inferred. Canada still has a rule in place that you cannot travel to Canada. You can't come in the country unless you have proof of vaccination. The United States for a long time had the same rule. I don't know where exactly we stand on that. But obviously, there's a lot more professional American teams going to Canada than there are coming from Canada to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been interesting to see how this whole thing has played out. And again, they're not the first team to discover this, but there's a decent chance that going into this year, if you played in the same division as Toronto, You had to have discussion with your players, or even before the season started, of like whether or not you were going to keep certain players or trade or sign certain dudes. Because, you know, how many series do you play in Toronto? If you're the Royals, maybe you're only playing one this year, right? But if you're the Yankees and you're going to play there, I mean, I don't know what the average time is, 12 games or something?
I know you play, I think, every team in your division 18 or 19 times.
Okay,
the so same
half
division,
those,
so you're looking at
nine or ten games. So, yeah, that's you know, a decent chunk of your season if you're not going to have somebody. And so the people are talking about it more because this is the most number of guys that have had to sit out. And there's one dude, and I'm to honor the fact that I'm talking way more baseball than I actually know what I'm talking about, I'm going to admit I don't remember his name. I can go find it for you if you want. There's one player who's playing very well right now for the Royals, and because the Royals aren't very good, he is a potential trade guy. Like at the trade deadline, he could be somebody that gets moved for future prospects, right? And this guy's having a great season, has one of the best on-base percentages in the league. But like if you're the Yankees right now and you're looking to make a deal to try and, you know, shore up your offense or defense or whatever it is, you're trying to just get a little bit stronger for that postseason run, and you might trade some future prospects to get a little bit stronger right now, and you're looking at that guy, but you may have to play in a playoff series against Toronto, it might factor in whether or not you're going to trade for him. Not to mention, some of these guys are missing out on, sometimes depending on their contract, hundreds of thousands of dollars if they miss 3 or 6 or 9 games of their season because they're unvaccinated. So it's go ahead.
So the player you're mentioning is Andrew Benintendi.
Benintendi, yes. Having a great season. A lot of talk about him being moved by the Royals to a playoff contender, but no playoff contender wants to trade for a guy. Then you go in your first round, and he can't go play on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays. The other thing that I considered, and, you know, I'd be lying if I said I knew anything about Charlie Montoyo other than the fact that he was very successful in his long stint with the Durham Bulls. But the Toronto Blue Jays did have expectations coming in. They've had some injuries, and they haven't been terrible. They're like slightly above 500. If they're not in a wild card spot, you know, now there's more wild card spots. They're either in one of the lower wild card spots or at least competitive in one, maybe a game outside of it, right? But one of my thoughts is, how do you factor in, and again, this isn't Toronto's fault, it's the Canadian government who's made the rule, right? Not the Toronto Blue Jays. But are they looking at, well, we've done this so far this season, and we've been playing basically weekend teams, right? Like when you play everything they've played at home, I don't know if every single team has been missing some, but again, the Royals aren't the first team to go to Toronto and have dudes sit out. There are plenty of other teams that have mentioned it, and guys get asked about it, and they talk about it, and they say, yeah, it's my decision, we knew going in, whatever. And even the Royals front office staff says, yeah, we talked about it, but ultimately we give freedom to players to make their own decisions. So they're bringing, like, AAA dudes. And not that AAA seasons matter, but it's disrupted their season because those dudes had to come off the AAA team for, like, a week before the series to be training with the team and get ready, and then they fly to Toronto. So I just – it's been – obviously this whole – pandemic has been an interesting time for sports, going back to when we didn't have any, then going back to, remember the whole college football, we're not going to play, we are going to play, some people are going to play, we're only going to play each other, we're not going to play our normal schedule, then back to, all right, games are normal, but nobody's going to be at the games, then back to mostly what we've had in what we'd call this sports season, basically last fall into this spring and summer, has been a return to almost normalcy. But the transcontinental and the cross going across the international line going to Canada is still one of the things that makes it more interesting. It was true of hockey. We saw sometimes the Canadian hockey teams that were hosting had much smaller crowds than the teams that they were playing against when they played American teams. And now we're seeing it play out again in baseball, where again, 10 Royals players are not making the trip to Toronto. And I do wonder what the overall effect has been. Like, has, if you could go do the metrics of, you know, the difficulty of the team that the Toronto has faced versus that same roster of that same team if they were playing a game in the United States and had their full roster of players, right? Has Toronto been playing teams somewhere at an average of 90% what would be their full schedule? You know, 95%, is it down to 80? Again, like this week, it's like 75% capacity. If 10 dudes are off your team, now again, a lot of them are pitchers, and you may only use certain ones a certain day, but I know there's like a starting catcher, another starting infielder.
It's 10 out of 26.
Yeah.
I mean, even still, okay, let's say, for example, like what if it was like two of your starting pitchers that were scheduled to start during the series? What are you doing?
Right.
There's a lot of questions regarding it.
So I wonder if that was – I do wonder, just curiously, if that factored into the decision to let Charlie Montoyo go. But, yeah, so we're talking baseball. I hope we don't disappoint the fans who chose to talk about free agency hockey. The only thing I'll say in free agency hockey is this, and Gold touched on it a little bit, of – we talked about one of the things that's made Carolina sharp in the past couple seasons, and that is determining people's value and not getting emotional and overpaying because you like a player, right? Or because the fans like them. Like, you can do that. You can like a player. You can look the guy in the face and say, I like you. You know, you're awesome. You're a great person. I believe in you. I want you to do well. But based on what your agent has set as the number that he's got to get, and I understand you're sticking with that, and based on the value we have for you, we cannot do business together, and so we're going to have to let you go. And that's happened, right? But Gold made a point of, you can only do so much retooling every year.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where on that tight rope of, like, you know, you don't want to be a team that just sits there and never tinkers to improve. I feel like even at the trade deadline, I feel like there were some people that were like, oh, I kind of wish the Canes had added a piece, right? Versus you want to have consistency, you want to stay intact. You know, how do you balance the – well, if you didn't win the cup this year, what are you doing? Who are you moving? What are you packaging to try to get better? And also the very obvious, like, well, every year you can have some sort of structural changes, right? Some people's contracts are up. You know, some guy became a free agent, and now you got to decide whether or not to pay him. So, like, you can't help that. And that's just, you know, you're always going to have those every year, so you have to turn stuff over. I do wonder, much like we've discussed with every other thing, Carolina is a different market, right? And I compared them to the New England Patriots, but the New England Patriots are a NFL team in Boston, right?
Yeah.
And as long as they were keeping Tom Brady, nobody else really mattered. The fans may have loved this wide receiver that caught a touchdown in a Super Bowl, but as long as they were keeping Tom Brady in Boston, it didn't really matter. Well, first of all, Raleigh ain't Boston. Like, we ain't that big of a market. And that's why sometimes we have to do things a little bit different. We've talked about Tom Dundon has addressed, you know, making jokes at Montreal, making fun of Montreal, putting 20 cents on the offer sheet because it was Aho's number. When they pay the fine for Rod Brindamore, putting 37 cents at the end of whatever the fine was because that was Rod Brindamore's number. Being cute on social media, in addition to just whatever traction and views it gets you, they do that intentionally because they're like, we've got to be a part of the fabric of Raleigh, North Carolina, and Carolina fans, right? Mm-hmm. So I do wonder, I'm still way on the side of, I've got my faith in the team that is currently running the Carolina Hurricanes, the administrators, Rod Brindamore, Tom Dundon, Don Waddell, Eric Tolsky. They've made good decisions, so I have faith in them. There is, and there's nobody. Stephen Lawrence, it wasn't. I mean, I'm sure Stephen Lawrence was somebody's fan favorite. But you took a Canes fan poll of like your favorite players, I don't think Stephen Lawrence was breaking the top five this year. Probably not top 10, right? But there is a point at which you have to maybe recognize, as much as we are trying to do everything to try and win the cup, we still have to appeal to a market where maybe winning the cup isn't as much of number one with a bullet as it would be in like Toronto or Boston or Detroit, right? Like, it's about creating a good culture. So there's nobody, Vincent Trocheck wasn't this, I mean, as much as I liked him, and obviously he's a great player, there's no like long history with Vincent Trocheck, right? But there might be decisions in the upcoming years with a guy like Sebastian Aho, whatever his next contract is. And I know he's still got 5 years.
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
I thought he had a lot more.
Nope.
But Aho would be a perfect example of, maybe there is a time or two where you have to overpay a little bit because of what a guy means to a market, because that matters in a place like Raleigh more than it does in a place like Toronto, where it's like, if we're as the cup is the only goal, like that's number one, that's all that matters and nothing else. It's not quite that cutthroat here. And I wonder how the Canes will have to handle that next situation where maybe they got to be a little bit emotional about a signing. Right now, be cold-hearted. Keep it up. Ship out anybody who doesn't fit with the plan. Let's go get that cup. Mm-hmm. And then we can get emotional and overpay for the guys who win us our next cup. I don't need to win two or three in a row. I don't care about that. If we win one, we can overpay all those guys to stay on the team the next year, fall back to like fourth place and just celebrate. I'll be totally fine for another 10, 15 years. We're good.
Yeah. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
We are 90 minutes into the show. We got 90 minutes left. It is halftime at the Adam Gold Show.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
All right, first thing I want to get to here. See how Baker Mayfield had all those Progressive commercials?
Yes.
Well, I didn't realize that Progressive actually is an Ohio-based company.
So
that kind of tied in there a little bit. But Mayfield actually did pitch the idea of a moving out edition of his at-home commercials.
Sure. What, like one last one?
Well, like one last one, or it's like, hey, moving out. Like, but hey, your insurance goes with you, you know, that kind of deal.
Sure.
Like loading up all of his stuff in the back of a U-Haul or whatever it may be. Progressive shot it down.
They weren't feeling it?
No. I'm not going to lie. I thought that would have been pretty good idea.
It would be cool. I could see the danger for a brand of an ad campaign that feels like it's like closing things down. You know what I mean?
Well, not saying closing things down. It's just, hey, we're moving to a new place.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're right there with you. You need your new home insurance, whatever it may be, for whatever place it may be. Like, that's a great opportunity. Like, got to have good insurance on that car because things might happen
on your move. That's a good point. Also, good on Baker. I mean, maybe he's just trying to create business for himself. But, like, what actors are pitching to the companies? Like, hey, here's a commercial you should make, and I'd be happy to star in it. So, credit to him for that.
Hey, I'm all for it.
I am disappointed. Baker Mayfield, I thought he was darn good in the Progressive commercials. I thought those were mostly good ads.
I thought they were fine.
So I was hoping that they would continue. And of course, everybody was hoping they would continue and they would just put him at the defunct, unfinished practice facility in Rock Hill and shoot them there. But unfortunately, we're not going to get to see it.
All right. Next thing that we have here is something that actually you brought to my attention. Our cheese rolling world champion, Abby Lampe, coming back to Raleigh.
That's right. She's cutting her post-graduation European trip short to appear at the main stage at Packapalooza on August 27th, along with the 9-pound Cheese Wheel and American Aquarium, a band from Raleigh and with NC State ties that we play here on the show. All right, here's my question. I got a couple questions. One.
Okay.
Do you have any cheese at your house right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where is it?
In my cheese drawer, in my fridge.
Okay.
Well, it's like the deli cheese drawer, whatever, maybe. In my refrigerator.
In your refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this block of cheese.
Okay.
I've seen it roll down a hill. I've seen it be carried. I've seen it in videos and podcasts. I have not seen this wheel of cheese hit a refrigerator. Okay? No knock on Abby. I'm sure, like, she showered since she did the cheese rolling.
Yeah.
But she's been like carrying it around.
No, she shipped it home.
Okay, yeah.
She shipped it right the day after.
But she was carrying it around. Like there's pictures of her the day after in a bar, in a pub with it.
Yeah.
What's the condition of this cheese? Are you eating this cheese?
Yeah.
I'm not eating this world championship cheese.
Absolutely.
I'm not eating this cheese.
Why not?
Because cheese should be in a refrigerator.
Okay.
Cheese can't be out this long and still be good. I don't care what kind it is. And then also, I do fear... All right, so she's on the main stage. Like, what does she do? She give a speech?
Yes.
I just fear, like... I think this is an awesome story. I think it's a cool story. I'm glad it was covered. I'm glad that she repped North Carolina and NC State like immediately when she won. But I just worry that like they introduce her, she walks out there and people are like, okay, now what? Like, is she going to do tricks with the cheese?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, maybe she's got a rousing speech and more power to her if she does. I just don't know if like when you go out to get presented at 50-yard line of the football game.
Yeah.
Like it's a 30-second thing. You're not talking. It's like they could play a video of you, then people could see it, and you could just stand there and the crowd go wild and you can wave, right? Appearing on a stage, like next to a band, like I feel like you're gonna have to expect it to do something, and I'm just not sure that that she can deliver on that. That's my whole thing.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe she's up there with Devin Leary and Drake Thomas. Maybe that's what it is.
Now, if she sits in with American Aquarium for a song, if Abby Lampy is like, can somebody hold my cheese? And she picks up the drumsticks and starts rocking. Now, dude, I am all in.
Yeah.
If she could play a song with them, or even better, if like they write a song or they pick a song specifically about cheese, I don't know what it would be.
I don't have
one off the top of my head. But maybe
it's a cover.
But I just worry. It seems like it's more of a walk out at halftime and wave. And have the crowd go wild, then like presented on a stage. I just fear that we're building up the cheese rolling, and then it might be a letdown at a performance type event like that.
Well, maybe she's gonna appear on stage, gets her fanfare, then she introduces American Aquarium or something along those lines. Maybe that's part of it.
All right, I can see that.
Maybe that's what she's doing. It's like she's the one that's emceeing a stage to all introduce right. all the other stuff.
Maybe she introduces
up.
Them. I also think we need to get working on. This is our perfect opportunity. To start our own cheese roll competition.
Oh, right here at Dick's Park.
I don't know if we have a hill quite like the one that they have there that we can do it.
I mean, Dick's Park is where Abby trained.
I know, but it's not quite the same. Even she said that.
Oh,
like. Yeah, the hills don't. Maybe there's a hill that I'm not thinking of that I don't use regularly that we could use.
Hanging Rock.
I don't know, but this is the perfect opportunity for us to like start our own tradition, and then like 200 years from now, somebody from some other country will come and be the first one to win the Raleigh cheese roll. Mm. So I need this to happen.
Before we get to our final thing of halftime entertainment, do you still do Wordle?
Yes, I do. I know where you're going with it. Oh, no. Actually, I'm thinking of a different puzzle that got a little interesting today. But I do Wordle.
I don't know what puzzle you're talking about.
I'll explain it in just a second.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that Hasbro is actually coming out with a actual physical Wordle party game. So you can actually buy it $20. You can actually do a Wordle. Like, when you have friends, you actually can do multiple together. So, yeah, an actual physical.
I don't know if I buy this.
But there's like a point system, I believe, that you can do. So like the fewer tries.
I get you, but I don't know if Wordle was meant to be like that. Wordle is perfect as it is.
Yeah.
And every attempt to change it although I will say, okay, a couple things. My favorite Wordle variation, and the only one that I actually like more than Wordle, because Wordle became kind of like hockey goals. It's a little bit of skill to get some things in place, but there's a lot of luck involved. Mm-hmm. Right? There's one today. Where I think I got four of the last five letters on my second or third guess, and then there's just it could be any number of, five different letters that could fit in there, so I'm not smart at this point. It's just a matter of guessing.
Yeah.
Right? But Quirtle. Quirtle is four different Wordles going on at the same time, and you've got nine tries to get all four words.
Okay.
And so, like, you guess one word, and it guesses it on all four, and it tells you, you know, where you have letters in the right place or whatever.
Five letters?
Five letters, okay. Yep. And so, basically, I start with guessing the same three words. Between those three words, I'm knocking out all the vowels and a good number of consonants. And then if I'm on my game, I can guess those three words, and then I can get the next four the four words that it actually is. Sometimes it'll be like, guess the three words. One's obvious. Now I got to knock out a couple other letters, figure out some other ones. But Quirtle, I've found, is a proper challenge.
Okay.
And not sometimes, same thing, you'll run into bad luck of like, well, that's just a crazy word. Like, you know, rarely do you see a word with two I's back to back or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Or but for the most part, it seems like a fair challenge of a game that okay. I like.
Is that an app or is this a website?
Just a website. Okay. And then the other joke I was making, I thought you were starting with, there's a game called Spelling Bee that the New York Times does every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's six letters around one in the middle. And you try and make as many words as you can, four letters or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get a pentagram, you have to use all seven letters. And you have to use the middle one. So sometimes, to do this thing, you have to use the middle one on every one. And a pentagram is one that uses all seven. And basically, the word today was a word that in its primary context would not be, it's not a bad word, but it'd be a word that like you wouldn't want your six-year-old to like see you play in the puzzle and be like, what does that mean? Because like the only way I know to explain this word is the more adult version of it. So I'll explain it to you off the air. It's a seven-letter word that starts with V. But it's not a body part. Anyway, go play Spelling Bee and see if you can get it.
Okay, I'll look that up. Now, my final thing I wanted to ask you, Hayes Permar,
okay.
Because you are, in my opinion, all things North Carolina.
Sure.
You're born and raised here. You love this state more than just the sports scene, but you love the culture, the food, everything, the music that the state has to offer.
Okay.
I brought up with Adam Gold yesterday that we need to, for guys like Brent Burns, for Baker Mayfield, not for Marchment, not him.
Sure.
Because he's going to Dallas. We don't like him. He
stinks. He didn't
want
to come here.
So we got to have like a starter kit for these guys. Like, hey, you're new to North Carolina.
Okay.
These are the things you either need to have and or know coming here. I said that a three-piece Supreme
okay.
needs to be in there. Some Krispy Kreme donuts.
All right.
Some Texas Pete hot sauce.
Okay.
A jar of Mount Olive pickles,
sure.
Sheer wine.
You're doing it. You're covering the food category strong.
I'm covering the food category.
I'm going to help you out at some other stuff.
Ready? I need a pronunciation guide of different locations. Like it's Mebane,
right.
It's Curry Beach, those kinds of things.
Bahama.
Yeah.
Churville. All right. I'm going to give you some non-food category stuff. One, every new free agent signing, draftee, whatever that comes to the state of North Carolina gets a hardback copy of Hugh Morton's North Carolina. It's a photography book.
Okay.
Right? So there's a couple books that I would give people if I thought they would actually read them, but this one is just pictures.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, pictures, they got beach, mountains, piners, they got sports stars,
yeah.
entertainment stars, they got animals, they got wildlife. Hugh Morton's North Carolina. I've got two of them. I got an extra one I could give to the crew, right?
Okay.
So everybody gets that one.
You mentioned Pinehurst, maybe like a free round of golf.
Round of golf.
Pinehurst.
All right. Secondly, let's give them a subscription
okay.
to Our State Magazine.
Yes.
Right? Put that in. Or I don't know if a subscription is better or if it'd be better just give them a stack of a year, the past year's worth of Our
okay.
State Magazine, right? Like in a year's worth of Our State Magazine, you're going to hit almost every city. Like there's only so many beach and mountain towns, right? Like, they're going to cover them all at some point. And a 12-month span over every the course of a year, Our State Magazine is going to hit almost every part of the state. So I'm adding a North Carolina Hugh Morton's photography book, a subscription to Our State Magazine. I would say give them David Mancone's Step It Up and Go, book of music history,
mm-hmm.
but that's probably asking a lot. They're going to have to learn Rod Brindamore's system. They're already looking at the playbook. So how about we just put together a playlist?
Yeah, I was thinking a playlist. Like get some James Taylor.
Yep.
Get some Chatham County Line.
Yep. I mean, we got
Steve
all
Steve Canyon Rangers. Throw in some Little Brother.
Yep.
Some J. Cole. There's Rhapsody. And, of course, got to throw in Petey Pablo.
Yep. So, yeah, we give them a playlist, a photography book, Our State Magazine. That's in the non-food category of things. I think
a DVD of Bull Durham.
Yep. What other movies could we put in there?
Dawson's Creek, like the incomplete season of Dawson's Creek. Or a complete series.
Haven't watched these movies. What if you, I mean, that Brent Burns yesterday sounded like he was like pretty fired up to play for Carolina, both like hearing good things about Rod Brindamore, but also, you know, most players are smart enough to do the like, oh, I can't wait to play in front of the PNC crowd, you know, whatever. Like everybody does that. Yeah, it's good. But no, he seemed fired up about being there. How awesome would it be if you like gave somebody one of these like starter kits and they were so good? Like when they came, you know, if they signed with the team now, you gave them a kit. And then what are we in July? When is media day? September?
Yeah, usually, early September.
Early October maybe, or September. Like you got there and they were like, they knew the state cold.
Yeah.
Like they were like name checking, like Cheerwine being from Salisbury. They were, you know, they were like, well, my favorite Hugh Morton is the, you know, the fall picture up at Grandfather Mountain. It just doesn't get better than that. You know, whatever. Like there'd be nothing would warm your heart more than a dude who really did take to your home state. Mostly, I think if they play the North Carolina golf courses, that alone is pretty darn good, right? They respect, that's one of the things that we are one of the leaders in the country for, and they're out in nature, so we'll take that. That's good enough for me. If they get out and play golf and they, you know, don't talk bad about our restaurants, then overall I'm okay.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake Forest graduate. Not Webb Simpson, not Will Zalatoris, not Arnold Palmer, not Curtis Strange, not Bill or Jay Haas, but Cameron Young is the Wake Forest grad who is currently leading the Open Championship at St. Andrews. St. Andrews, it's just cool to watch there. I think people sometimes get overly excited about golf courses, much like I think people are overexcited about something else that happened this week, but I'm going to talk about that later. But St. Andrews is cool. I mean, I don't get into the whole, I mean, I get that it's the birthplace of golf, but to me, it's just the course itself, watching it, it is cool. I like watching golf being played there. I also like when the wind is picking up, as it is a little bit this afternoon, making scores harder. So Cameron Young has a very, 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 very good chance of being your first round leader. If you had bet on Cameron Young as the first round leader, it would have paid out a lot. I think a $25 first-round leader bet was paying out close to $2,000. Don't ask me how I know that. I just do. It's time to place our bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death!
Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you this.
All right, as mentioned earlier in this show by Adam Gold, he is on a heater.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is fake money, and it's also honor system. I know this because when I come in and fill in, I correct the total myself. I am honest. I place my bets, and then when I lose, I adjust the total down, and when I win, I adjust the total up. I've even got some pending. I was afraid Gold was going to try and fade my Sam Darnold week one starter bet, but he kept it in there to his credit. I think I also picked Jordan Spieth to win the Open, plus 1,600. He's having an okay day today. He's under par. If you're two or three under today, you're probably still in it. Again, I mean, Cameron Young being 8-under doesn't scare you too much. Rory at 6-under is the one who could maybe get away from people. But if you get to 3-under today, you're not too worried. It's also tough to place British Open bets because the British Open's already started now. So I didn't really get the opportunity to. There's live betting. There's betting based on what has already happened. But when I was looking this morning at my bets, I was like, well, the Open's already started. So to start off, I'm going with the U.S. Women's National Team playing in the Women's CONCACAF.
Okay.
I need them to score over 3.5 goals versus Costa Rica tonight. That's at minus 115. I'll put 100 units on it.
Okay. All right. I'm taking Cameron Young to win it, plus 900.
That's his current live number?
That's his current live number.
I don't know, man. I'm
taking it.
I don't see Cameron Young going wire to wire. I don't even think plus 900 is that good value for him, but I like it. You're going with the Wake Forest guy.
Yeah.
All right. Summer League. Hornets were looking good yesterday. Mark Williams dropping down alley-oops, blocking shots. Tiger just missed a birdie putt. I'm taking Hornets -4.5 over the Bulls today at -110. Hornets love the summer league.
Okay.
Give me all the action.
UFC this weekend, Yair Rodriguez, Brian Ortega, featherweight fight. Give me Rodriguez at +155 to win it.
All right, so that's two bets that Dennis Cox is going to lose. Let's see if he can go 0-3 if he's got another one. Speaking of former Bulls, it wasn't a great week for I'm getting the Dennis Cox stare down right now. Charlie Montoya, former Bull, out as the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. But Blake Snell, who I once saw pitch for the Bulls, he was mowing people down. I got him for over 5.5 strikeouts today at +110.
Okay. France is taking on Belgium women's soccer and the Euro women. Give me France -2.5 to win. -2.5.
If I go 3-for-3, Adam will be knocking at the door of 5,000 units. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe if you're listening out there and you're across the Virginia line and you're at a place where you can do so legally, drop a bet. That is Place Your Bets.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.